Would you grab your Bibles with me this morning and turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 2? Luke chapter 2, just want to read a couple verses. The Christmas story, I want to begin at verse 4 and just read down to verse 7. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. For the sake of time, that is where we'll end. Would you bow with me for a moment this morning? Father, I thank you again. I thank you for your spirit that has captured the words that were spoken and the history of what took place years ago. I thank you for that. Thank you that your word is inerrant and it is inspired. And I thank you in spite of what men and the demonic have tried to do with it over the years, Father, it is a word that is preserved for us and will be until all of eternity. This morning I ask for a fresh anointing, that you would take literal possession of me, my mind, and my mouth. I only want to say what I hear you say and do what you show me to do. And Father, I want to thank you that you have given authority. In the name of Jesus, I command every demonic bird that would seek to snatch and pervert the seed that is going to be sown, I command you to be silent. I command you to release every person and be outside the walls of this building and off this property in Jesus' name. You will not interfere. And Father, I thank you that you are speaking in such a way that your children are hearing your voice. Thank you today that you are going to say a pile of things in this place that are not going to come out of my mouth. I thank you that your children will hear it, they will know it's you, they will capture it, and they will be obedient to it. We believe a single word from you changes everything. And so by faith we believe, as this word goes forth, it will accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. Thank you, you have prepared our hearts. In Jesus' name, and everybody in agreement said, amen. How many of you are already in the Christmas spirit, Christmas mood? How many of you? Oh, 1/3 of you. The rest of you, what? Oh, we got some half hour later in Newfoundland. Sorry, Newfies, we've got some. We do love you because God loves you. We have to. That's how that works. This morning, I want to share with you what the Lord and I have been talking about entering into this Christmas season. And I want to ask you, just holler out really quickly some of the things you do to get into the Christmas spirit, into celebrating Christ's birth, into the whole, just holler out some things you do. What are a few things? Say it again. Christmas songs. You sing them or you listen to them? I believe that. That is awesome. Songs inspire. What else? Put up a tree. I got to tell you, the other night we had one of our questions was, how many of you have a real tree? Can I just say, church, we have gone fake. The entire church is fake. And I remember that transition in our life when we went from a real tree to my wife's desire for a fake tree. We went fake. And I felt plastic ever since. So all of you with a fake tree, we're going to have revival. It's going to come. But yes, putting up a tree. What else? Felicia? Wrapping presents. Yeah, how many of you enjoy giving more than you enjoy getting? You enjoy giving. I got to tell you, there's something about the anticipation, the whole deal, right? And when you get it right and you see it, it is just like, oh, but it's fun to get to. How many of you enjoy getting? Oh, come on, church. And then there's the what? The jokes. Oh, that one, the box, and on the inside is the potato? Madonna, you are cruel, you. Elders, could you come and lay hands, and maybe just, could you? Couple things, Reeve. Hang on a second.
This is a lot of it this year,
So let me say it carefully, because her mom is up top. She wraps her mom's presents in a jerry can.
No, it's shaped like one.
It's shaped like one. Yeah, a water can or a jerry can. She thinks she's getting that. You open it up, and then you got the real present inside. Yeah, you are cruel, too. I like that. Felicia. She was not impressed. Yeah. Yeah, that's like the man who got his wife a compressor, thinking it was a really special romantic gift. Yeah. I need a compressor, so sweetheart, I'm getting you one. That's awesome. One more. Anybody else? One more. Anybody? Yeah, Valerie. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, we used to do it all the time, too. My dad actually bought a van, a 12-seat van, just so that we as a family could pack in there with our extended, and we would just drive around after every Christmas Eve service and look at lights. That's exactly what we would do. Beautiful. This morning, I want to ask you a question and then answer it the way the Lord laid it in my heart. And if there was a title to this message, this would be it. This would be the title. Would I be in the Christmas story? Would I be in the Christmas story? Or you could put it, would you be, put your name in there, would you be in the Christmas story? I find it absolutely amazing concept to grasp that before Jesus came to earth, born in a stable, a town of Bethlehem, laid in a manger, that he first was up in heaven with his Father and Holy Spirit acting as a cast director for this whole event. We know that for 4,000 years since the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were planning the Christmas story. 4,000 years from the fall. Not only putting all the pieces together, and we could talk about that all day long, what had to happen, in what order, getting everything ready for what needed to take place, but just as important to the success of the event as the timing and location were the players. The ones that would take on the key role in this whole event. I remember when the Lord first laid this thought upon my heart years ago. Do you know that Jesus was the only person in world history who ever picked his parents before he was born? Let me say that again. How many of you got that the first time? How many of you are from Newfoundland, that half hour and then you got it? Sorry. Oh, sorry. You got it. Yeah, you got it. You represent the whole group. I love that, Cindy. Let me say it one more time. Jesus was the only person who ever lived on the earth who chose his parents before he was born. Did you get that this time? Isn't that radical thought? But this morning I want to share with you what Holy Spirit has been talking to me about when it comes to choosing who would be in the Christmas story. The three in one were looking for some specific things that without them, this story would have never happened the way that we know it. Let me first ask you, and we will make a short list, who were the big players in the production? Let me give them to you for the sake of time. I'll lay them out. First of all, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Then there was Mary. Then there was Joseph. Then there was a group of shepherds. Then there was the two old people in the temple. We'll talk about that for a second. And I'll say they're old because the Bible says they're old. Actually, they were only 84 years old. How many of you are old people? Let me just say, she's not here. My mom is old. My mom is 90. Still walking 5 miles a day. We'll talk about that later. Then we got the three wise men who came from the east. Those are the players, maybe 12 people in the cast of Christmas. We're going to talk about them this morning. I want us to look at the reasons why the Trinity cast them, and I want to do it in such a way that the Lord showed this to me. And if you have your paper, I would like you to just draw this because it's going to make sense to you. This is home plate. This is first, second base, third base, and back to home plate. You'll understand it in a minute. Got it, somebody. That was very quick. Dan, you have the gift of discernment. That's beautiful. The four qualifications we are going to look at are like these bases on the ball diamond. The first is getting to first base. None of what would ever happen if a person wouldn't have got to first base. And if you don't get to first, you'll never get to second. And if you're not at second, you'll never get to third. And if you don't have third, you'll never get home. So you'll understand that as we go through it. Every player had to move through all four bases, and you will see that they did. Let's look at the first. I'm going to shoot these up on the screen. James is going to put them up there, but I want you to write down, this is first base. Of all the players in this story, first base is every player needed to hear and understand God's message, regardless of how it came. They needed to hear it and understand it. For Zechariah in the temple, standing in the Holy of Holies, he went through the curtain. For him, the message came how? How did he get the message in there? Who showed up? An angel, literal angel, showed up in the Holy of Holies. Zechariah had a moment of fear. We know that. He freaked out for a little bit. Then the angel kind of calmed him down. For him, the message came from one of God's angels. And because Zechariah had a heart toward God that allowed him to hear the angel's voice, we know he heard it and we know he understood it. They talked back and forth in that conversation. We'll look at that in a moment. For Elizabeth, she was at home waiting for her husband to finish his service at the temple. He came home. For her, she heard the message through her husband. Audibly? No. Because Zechariah could what? Can you imagine if people who didn't believe today couldn't talk? Oh, this would be a quiet world, wouldn't it? Let's not go there. She didn't get it audible through Zechariah. She got it through him. He probably wrote it down. He did sign language. He was great at charades. I'm not sure what it was, but she got it. And because she had a heart toward God to hear and understand, she believed that message was from God. We'll look at that in a moment. For Mary, Gabriel showed up in her room. We know she heard and understood because, again, they talked back and forth until it was clear to her what God was saying to her through Gabriel. And because, again, the condition of her heart toward God, she heard it and she understood it. Joseph, we know the beginning of his story. Engaged to young Mary, found out she's pregnant, told she's been faithful, still a virgin. This baby is from God. That is what she was told. Not believing it for a second. Planning to divorce her, not stone her, but divorce her quietly, because that was his character. In spite of what she did, his character was honorable toward her. But one night while he was sleeping, in a dream, an angel came to him and tells him, Mary's not lying. She's telling you the truth. The child is from God. Get up, take her as your wife, and when he's born, call him Jesus. He heard it. He understood it. The condition of his heart toward God made it so that he was able to do both. Simeon, he's the old guy in the temple. Simeon, the Bible says this. He was righteous, devout man. The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon him. By the way, why was it not in him? By the way, why? Was not born again yet. Jesus had not died, rose again. The Spirit had not come. But it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Spirit told him that he would not die until he laid his eyes on the Messiah. He was in a state of waiting, anticipating, knowing, I don't know how many years. Think about it. Abraham waited 25 years for the promise of Isaac to be born. I don't know how many years Simeon was looking and waiting, but he heard it and he understood it. At the same time, when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, a prophetess shows up. Who's the prophetess's name? Anna. Anna shows up. What do we know about her? She was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. This is the one, the Bible says she was very old at 84. That's what the Bible says. Don't throw anything. I don't want an email. It says she lived for 7 years with her husband. Her husband died after 7 years. She was widowed, and she was widowed until she was 84 years of age. All of those years she lived alone. Listen to this. It says she never left the temple. But she worshiped day and night, fasting and praying. That's quite a statement. And while Joseph and Mary and Jesus and Simeon were in the temple, she came up to them at that very moment, and when she saw Jesus, something happened. God spoke to her. How do we know that? Because she began giving thanks to God for Jesus and spoke about how Jesus was the redemption of Jerusalem and Israel. Because of the condition of her heart toward God, she heard it and she understood. Two more groups. Group of shepherds out in the fields of Bethlehem, sleeping with their sheep. All of a sudden, they become startled awake by an angel. The Bible says they were terrified. After a calming word from the angel, they heard the message from God. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, the Savior has been born. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And then what happened? The sky opened up. Angels filled the sky. They began saying glory to God in the highest. But because of the condition of the shepherd's heart, here it is, they heard and they understood. The last player, three wise men from the east. What do we know about them? We know they showed up sometime before Jesus was 2 years old. They never went to the stable like all the pictures and all the poetry and all the paintings. They never did that. But somehow, back home, through all of their study and research and examining, God laid upon their heart that this bright star in the constellation could only mean one thing. Not just a king was being born, but the King of Kings was being born. I don't know how they got it, but they got it. They heard it. They understood it. Because of the condition of their heart, they got the message. I want you to hear for all of them. Hearing and understanding was getting to first base. And without that, there was no going any further. I want to tell you this, that was true in their life. You need to hear that's true in our life. Without hearing and understanding, we will never get past first base. The second is this. Would you write down, all of these people, they believed the impossible was possible. They believed the impossible was possible. In order for this story to play out, all of them had to believe the impossible was possible. I want you to think about this, Zachariah and Elizabeth, they were old, well past childbearing years, yet they believed, both of them believed that with God it was possible. With Mary, to be a virgin and become pregnant with God's child, it was impossible. But she believed with God it was possible. For Joseph, nobody gets pregnant without having union. No woman gets pregnant without having union from a man. It's impossible. Although today you can do a needle, you can do a syringe, we won't go there. But when he heard the angel in his dream, he believed it was possible because with God, all things are possible. For Simeon, after 4,000 years of the Jewish people waiting for Messiah, when Holy Spirit told him he would not die till he laid his hands on the Messiah, he believed it, he expected it, and he was looking for it. He lived every day knowing he would not die that day. Why? Because he had not seen the Christ yet. For Anna, when she saw baby Jesus and heard what Holy Spirit said to her, she immediately believed it. And that is why she broke out in thanksgiving right there in their presence. For the shepherds, when the angels all left, how do we know they believed what they heard? They instantly said, "That's weird. Let's go back to sleep." No, that's not what they said. They said, "Wow, let's go see what they were talking about." They believed that with God it was real. And with the kings, how do we know that they believed it? All we see in Scripture is the end of the story, but there had to be a beginning. Did you know there were some who say that the distance they traveled from where they were to get to Bethlehem and see the baby was a distance of how long a period of time? 2 years. There are many who believe they journeyed for 2 years to get there and then 2 years back again to where they were. That's a 4-year period of time. From when they left until they arrived at Jesus' house in Bethlehem, can I tell you, no one moves unless they believe. No one gets off their chair unless they believe. No one gets out of the pew unless they believe. No one leaves their country and for a four-year journey travel following a star all through unless they believe. These men believed what they discovered enough to affect years of their life. All of them, I want you to hear, all of them reached second base. They were believers. They all believed the impossible was possible, and they all believed with God all things are possible. They had to be a part of this story. Because unless you believe, you don't ever make it to third base, ever. What is third base? Would you write this down? They obeyed the message from the Lord. Third base is obedience. How do we know that Zechariah and Elizabeth obeyed? How do we know that? Though they were old and though they had never had a child, now they were well past childbearing years. The Bible says they had union as a senior couple in Bethany and Seasons, and they got pregnant. They had union believing, even though it has never happened before, and none of our old friends are having babies. They had union, and they got pregnant. You know what it's like? It's like Peter on the water with his boat. Lord, I fished all night and I got nothing. But at your word, I'll go out and I'll throw it out one more time. And when he did, what happened to his nets? Full. When Zechariah and Elizabeth came together, after years of nothing and nothing and nothing and nothing, they threw it in the net on the other side. And guess what? They caught a fish. Baby John the Baptist. Physically, it couldn't happen. But with God, all things are possible. They obeyed and got pregnant. And how do we know what is the first indication she got pregnant? At the end of Mary's conversation with Gabriel, the angel said to Mary, and by the way, Mary, just by the way, let's cap this off. By the way, your cousin, Elizabeth, the older lady who's never had a child and who's way past childbearing years, by the way, she's pregnant. Would the angel lie? And how do we know that Mary believed it? Right after she said to the angel, "Be it unto me according to your word," she packed her things, she head off to see her cousin Elizabeth, and when she got there and they met, what happened to six-month-old John in the womb? He leapt under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus inside of Mary. How many of you have seen that scene in Chosen where the two of them come together and that whole scene plays out? How many of you have seen that? Yeah, if you haven't seen that, it is powerful. What did Joseph do when he woke up? We're talking about obedience. Woke up from the dream, believing that what he had been told was true. What did he do? He obeyed it. The Bible says he got up. He took Mary into his home. He covered her and protected her. He had no relationship with her. The girls read it this morning. No relations with her until Jesus was born. I think it took Jesus 4,000 years to find a man who would do that. And when Jesus was born, he did what the angel told him to do. Joseph was the one who named the baby Jesus. Look at Simeon. I love what it says about him. On the day that Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to be circumcised, the Holy Spirit told Simeon, "Today, Simeon, I want you to go to the temple. 11 o'clock this morning, I want you to be there." How do we know that he believed the message? Because he went. It reminds me, how many of you remember my friend Effie Kaminsky? How many of you remember the name, the story? Some of you? Let me just tell you quickly. I met her riding on the bus in university going back and forth. She ended up being one of my small group leaders when I was doing college and career with 100 and some kids, and she was a Pentecostal, I was a Lutheran, and we still got along. It was really quite a miraculous thing. But one night she was sitting in her apartment. 8 o'clock at night, she says she had her pajamas on, she was settled in for the evening, she was just studying. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to her, Effie, get up, go to Westmount Shopping Mall. What did Effie do? She heard it. She believed it. She got up. She put her clothes on. She took the bus in the middle of winter, went to Westmount Shopping Center. She went in there, asked the Holy Spirit to lead her. Long story, she ended up finding a young lady who was going to commit suicide that night. They had a conversation, prayed with her, led her to the Lord, and changed that girl's eternity. If she had not heard, if she did not believe, and if she was not obedient. Simeon did the same. He walks in at 11 o'clock that morning, just as Joseph and his family were walking in, and when Simeon's eyes landed on baby Jesus, the Bible says this, he took him in his arms. He said, this is the Messiah. This is him. And he began speaking prophetic words over him. Luke chapter 2 has it. Powerful. And then he goes, I can die now. Isn't that quite a word? Look what it says about Anna. We know she heard. We know she believed. And we know she obeyed. Because not only did she begin thanking and praising God when she saw Jesus, but Holy Spirit told her, I want you to go and begin telling everyone you know who is looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, he's here. You saw him. He's alive. The redemption is at hand. And she did. She was obedient because she believed. How do we know the shepherds believed? Because the moment the angels were gone, they got up, they left their sheep, they traveled all night, they found the stable, found the baby in the manger. They obeyed. And with the kings, to pick up everything and to leave with their entourage on a 4-year journey and to show up at Jesus' doorstep with gifts and worshiped, these men obeyed. They heard it, they believed it. And they obeyed it. They found who they were looking for. I don't know if you have ever thought this, but if someone were ever to ask one of the kings years after all of this happened, if they would have come to them and said, can I just ask you, was it worth it? Was it worth all you went through? Was it worth all of the expense? Was it worth the 4 years on a camel's back? Was it worth being gone from home? Was it worth the hardship and the danger and all that you went through? Was it worth it? How do you think they would have answered? I think they would have said, there wasn't a single thing I've done in my life that has had more value and importance to me than that journey and kneeling on my knees in front of that little boy. That's what obedience did. Just one more. Fourth base. And I have to tell you, third and home plate could have been interchangeable. In fact, this probably needed to come before obedience, but this is the way the Lord gave it to me. Fourth base, home plate is this. The fear of man has to die. Being moved by people's opinion has to be dead inside of you. Not one of these people could have ever been part of the Christmas story if the opinions of people were still alive and well in their life. I wonder what all the older people in Zechariah and Elizabeth's village community in their area, when they heard that this couple was going to have a baby. I was thinking about this. I was in Seasons this week. And I was thinking, if I walked in there and there was an elderly couple, and in fact, I was thinking, Heather, about your mom and dad. If your mom and dad, if I ran into them and everybody was saying, that Smith couple is saying they're pregnant. They're going to have a baby. How old is dad? 95? How old's mom? 96 Christmas Eve? Your dad married an older woman? I'm going to talk to him next time I visit. I want you to think about this, guys. Imagine what would happen if they began speaking in seasons with all of the seniors there, and they began going out going, we're pregnant, we're going to have a baby. What do you think the response would be? Yeah, you're exactly, right? I got to tell you, it's really interesting. Do you remember Sarah? She wasn't past birthing years, but when the angel said Sarah's going to have a baby after 25 years of not having a baby, what was Sarah's response? She laughed. I wonder how many senior people laughed at Zechariah and Elizabeth. They believe they're going to have a baby. They come together, have union, they get pregnant. How many people laughed at them? You know what? They were at a place in their life where they go, I don't care what people think. We're believing what God said. We know what Mary had to endure. When it was found out that she was pregnant outside of wedlock, what her parents had to say, the shame, the community had to say, the shame. Joseph saw her as being an adulteress, being a loose woman from the religious leaders that were wanting to stone her if it were not for Joseph. But I want to tell you, for Mary, what they thought was secondary. What God thought was primary. His opinion mattered more. His truth mattered more. I want you to think about Joseph, planning to divorce her, having the support of everyone around her, the religious leaders. Everybody was with Joseph going, you can't marry that slut. She is not. And all of a sudden, he has a 180. He wakes up. He goes and takes her, protects her, provides for her, brings her. Joseph, have you lost your mind? Can I ask you a question? Is it possible for people to support you, and all of a sudden you make a decision, and the same ones who supported you are crying out, crucify you? I want to tell you, what held him against people's opinion, what God said mattered to him more after that dream than what anybody else had to say. The fear of man gave way to the fear of God. Can you imagine someone walking into church one day telling us that God spoke to them and told them they were not going to die until the rapture came? What would you say to them? Other than Jane, what would you say to them? You might think, well, that is, you might believe that. But I'll tell you, God didn't say that to you. And it's true, they might believe it with all of their being, but I can tell you, God didn't say that to them. Because no man knows the day or the hour, only the Father. But can you imagine when Simeon told that to people, I'm not going to die until I see Messiah. Simeon, we love you, but I think dementia is setting in. 4,000 years, Simeon, people have been expecting Messiah. God wouldn't tell you something like that. But for Simeon, what people thought didn't matter. What God thought, that held him. He believed it. He obeyed it. And the dementia fool was proved right. When he held Jesus in his arms and he declared, the redemption is here. I am free to die now. The opinions of men were gone. We know that Anna didn't care what people thought. She went all over the place telling people about Jesus. She had learned to obey God long ago and not let the opinions of people affect her. How do we know that the shepherds lost their fear of men's opinion? This is how we know. When they left the stable, having been with Jesus, the Bible says they went out telling everyone what they had seen and heard. They didn't care what people thought. They believed what God said, they saw him, and they went out and they shared the message. The opinions of men were dead. And we know the wise men must have had all kinds of people's opinion thrown at them before their trip. But history proved that what God laid upon their heart was more powerful than the opinions of others. And on that day, as they knelt at 2-year-old Jesus' feet, only one thing mattered. And he was standing in front of them as a 2-year-old boy. I want you to hear of all the players in this production. All of the players made it to home base. They all heard. They all believed. They all obeyed. And they all killed the opinions of men. And because of that, they were chosen to be the players in the greatest story ever told. Can I tell you what the Lord said to me as we were talking about this? This is what he said. He said, Colin, he said, I'm looking for players for people's Christmas stories all the time. I'm working on people's lives in order for them to meet Jesus and to be born again, and I am looking for players to be a part of their stories. Have you heard this before? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the players are few. I'm looking for people today, just like I looked for the players in Jesus' day, those on first base who will hear my voice. Because there's a pile who don't even listen. And then he said, I'm looking for people who will go to second base. They will actually believe the impossible when they hear what I tell them. He goes, there's a pile of people who won't believe unless they can do it themselves. They won't believe it. Let alone believe the impossible. He goes, Colin, I'm looking for people, third base. I'm looking for people who will obey what I tell them to do, even if they don't understand it, even if it's inconvenient, even if it takes 4 years on the back of a camel. I'm looking for people who will obey me. He's going, Colin, there's not a lot of people who obey me anymore. And then he says, I'm looking for those who will make it to fourth base, those who are no longer moved by the opinions of men, but they're moved by one thing only, my voice, what I tell them. Zach, can I have you come? I want to tell you, as the Lord said that to me, I stopped, I put my pen down. This is what I said. I said, Lord, I want to be that player. I want to be a home run player in people's Christmas stories. I'm telling you, this past year, I had opportunity to pray with people to receive Christ. I want to tell you what I'm believing for. This message probably spoke to me more than any of you, but one of my prayers is next year, God is going to use me as a player in people's lives to bring more people to Jesus. Whatever he asks me to do, I'm going to hear him. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to obey him. And I'm not going to give a damn what people think. Because if their eternity depends on it, put me in, coach. There's no reward in sideline. There's no reward sitting in the bleacher looking and watching. This morning I want to ask you the same. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro over the whole earth for those whose hearts are turned toward him. For 4,000 years he picked the exact moment, chose the 12 players, and sent his son to the world. In these latter days, in the midst of all that's going on in this world around us, all the report, all that's happening everywhere, he's asking, will you be a player? Will you step up to the base? Will you make it to first base because you have learned, because of the condition of your heart, to hear the voice of the Father? Will you make it to second because you heard and you believed? It's impossible. It's not even within the scope. But you believe that the impossible is possible with me. Then will you make it to third base? Will you actually obey what I ask you to do? And will you make it to home because the opinions of men are no longer impacting your life? But God, what you said matters. I want to ask you this morning, are you willing to be a player in the stories of people's lives? I would like you to bow with me this morning for a moment. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. What I am going to ask you to do is have a quiet moment between you and the Lord. As the Lord and I were talking this morning, one of the things he said is call. There are still people who haven't even stepped up to the plate. All you might say this morning is, Father, forgive me. Comfort has been the goal of my life. I have not been willing to step up. I'm not willing to swing, to take a bat. If that's where it begins for you, God, I don't want to, but give me a want to. For some of you, you have battled. You don't even hear. You don't even listen. Your day is so full of other stuff, and you will pump it in with music and with video and with gaming and with computer and TV and sports, but there's no time to develop the listening. Don't even make it to first base. For you, you might want to say, God, forgive me. I want to hear. You got to change my heart. Teach me to hear your voice with clarity and to understand it. For some of you, you know you hear. That's not your issue. Your issue is believing. You don't believe that God is able to do the impossible through you. Oh yeah, other people. But through me? This morning, that might be what you say to the Lord. Lord, I'm struggling believing. You got to grow me. You got to help me believe. Empower me to believe that with you in my life, the impossible is possible. Because if we don't believe, we will never obey. Jesus made this statement. He says, if you love me, you will obey me. Don't say you love me and won't obey me. That's not love. He said, if you love me, if you hear me and you believe it, your love will act out in obedience. For some of you, you just need to go, God, that is what I need from you. I need the empowerment. I'm hearing and I believe it. That's not it. But I struggle obeying. Whether it's getting up in the morning and spending time with you or crossing the street and sharing my faith with a neighbor, it's just easier not to obey. For some of you, that's all you need to do is go to the Lord and say, Father, I need your help to obey. And for some of you, the opinions of men is still very real. What people think, what your parents think, what your spouse thinks, what your relatives think, what the people at work think, all of that has more power in your life than what God thinks. There is no making it to home base as long as the opinions of men have more power in our life. For some of you, that's what you need to go to God and say, God, I need you to change that. I need you to empower me to kill that. I need you to become primary and people to become secondary. I want to invite you to take a quiet moment this morning. It is what God is going to say to you this morning that is going to make all the difference. You could sit here and listen to this message all day long and walk out and there be no change. But if you hear the voice of the Father speak to you, you will be changed in a moment. Would you take a quiet moment now? Father, I want to say thank you that 2,000 years ago, you found the players you were needing to bring Jesus to earth so he could do what you called him to do. I thank you today as your eyes are looking over the whole earth that you are still finding players. Those who tune their ear to hear your voice and they believe it even when you say the impossible and they obey when you ask them to do things and the opinions of men mean nothing in their life anymore because you trump it all. Father, make us those kind of players. I thank you that you are writing Christmas stories in the lives of people. The people that God saved this past year will celebrate their first Christmas ever. The people who are getting saved next year, God, we want to be a part of their stories. Make me a player. The book of Proverbs, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the wise man said, wise people win souls. May we be a people that the world knows as players. I thank you for Zechariah and Elizabeth. I thank you that they heard and they believed and they obeyed. I thank you for Mary and Joseph that they heard you, they believed and they obeyed. I thank you for Simeon and Anna in the temple. They heard you and they believed and they obeyed. I thank you for those shepherds in the field. I thank you for those wise men. You found 12 people who heard you. They believed you. They obeyed you. And the opinions of men were dead. Because of that, we have a story, Father. And that story has changed our eternity forever. This morning, between you and God, without raising a hand, if you are open for God to make you a player in the Christmas story of other people's lives, on the inside of you, would you just say to him, God, make me a player. I am willing to be part of someone's Christmas story. If you are here or if you are listening online, there has never been a time in your life, you may have known, you may have gone to church, but there has never been a time in your life where you have made a decision with the act of your will in order to invite the birthday boy, Jesus, into your life. That's where it begins. That is the desire of your heart. I just invite you to pray after me, Lord Jesus. I thank you for coming to this earth as a baby. I thank you for living a sinless life and dying for my sin on the cross of Calvary. I ask you now to come into my life. I invite you to be my Savior. Forgive me of all of my sin. And be my Lord. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Empower me to hear your voice. Empower me to believe what you tell me. Empower me to be obedient to your word. And empower me to make your opinion above all else. you have prayed that prayer, I want to say welcome to the family of God. Your life eternally has been changed forever. Church, would you stand with me this morning to receive the blessing of the Lord? The Lord bless you this morning and keep you. The Lord cause His beautiful face to shine on you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you. And today, in this world, fill you full of His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if you receive it, would you say amen? God bless you, church. I invite you to step out of these doors. And this week, let's be a player. Have a great week. God bless you.